I just love Christmas. I love the little children. I love their innocence. I love how they are, they're just filled with wonder at Christmas time. And we keep asking our boys, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? And they always say, just there's something about Christmas. There's this joy and, you know, there's this feeling of just being happy. You know, we just love that about Christmas. And it's such a great opportunity for us parents, caregivers, grandparents to impart what Christmas is really all about when it comes to our children. And some of you have been doing that. We usually do it around Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. We talk about the birth of Jesus, what it actually means, and why this whole thing Christmas. And one of the great opportunities that we've had as a church is to put a walk of lights on and just really tell the world what the Christmas story is all about and how Jesus came about and why he came and what the spirit of Jesus is all about. Why are we celebrating Christmas? You know, besides the world putting a spin on it, and with so many Santa movies and so many elf movies and so many different things that the world tries to put on, the world has sort of commercialized Christmas and it's become all about gifts. It's become about the Christmas music, and all those things are okay, but it is always good to go back to the roots and talk about what Christmas is all about. And we, as Christians, we know what Christmas is all about. It's about this baby that came down for you and me to save us from our sins. And as we have been in this series of Overlook the Christmas, today we're going to be talking about shepherds. Shepherds who are not so overlooked in our Christmas story, because as we know, if we look at all the, even the nativity scene, we see the shepherds there. Some of them, most of them have shepherds, because shepherds were present at the scene. The Bible tells us the shepherds were there along with the wise men and people that were at that nativity scene. But even in our story, obviously during the Walk of Lights, shepherds are an important part of our Walk of Lights story. If you were here, you remember our shepherds. I would say that our shepherds, the shepherds of KWCF, are one of the best shepherds that we have in this town. They put the work in and out every evening, and they have to tend the sheep. They have to hang out with the sheep. So different scenes that we have at the Walk of Lights, obviously, those people don't have to hang out with the animals. So when the shepherd has to hang out with the sheep, something comes with that. When you hang out with the animal, you start smelling like an animal. So I want to say thank you to all of our KWCF shepherds. You're the best. If you're in here this morning, we appreciate you. It was a funny story. When we were just the last night of the Walk of Lights, it was crazy busy. We were walking, and we had one of the shepherds coming around. He was just getting in there last minute, and it was a funny scene. He was trying to setting up, and the people came, and he was just like, whoa, you know, you just missed them. You know, if you know the scene, how that goes, they were right here. And he goes through his scene, and then after he's done, the kids are going through, and he calls me, David, come over here. And I was like, what's going on, man? He's like, you won't believe it. I can't see. I'm blind. I'm like, why? First of all, I don't have my glasses. The lights were just right in my face. I didn't see any of the kids coming through. I don't know, you know, so from that evening on, I call him the blind shepherd. So we have a special blind shepherd among us too. You know who you are. We have a couple of actually shepherds, but the shepherds were blinded by that light that Christmas night. And if you know anything about shepherds at that time, as much as we don't overlook them in our Christmas story, at that time, shepherds were the least people that you would think God would decide to send an angel to tell about this great story, about this great person, about this great Savior coming to the world. Now, we've gone over how Gabriel has showed up. He's shown up to Joseph. He's shown up to Mary, obviously the main characters of Christmas. We talk about how Elizabeth and Zacharias were also part of a big part of the story, which angels showed up to them as well. But then the last time the angel ever showed up in the scripture, you would have thought that God would have a better idea, that God would have a better plan, that God would maybe, you know, think of somebody that's more prominent, someone that's more known, someone that's popular, someone that has an Instagram account with 24 million followers. Someone that has like a large following. And at that time, there were people that had a large following, but God decides to go to the least at that time. Shepherds probably thought even of themselves as being the least, not worthy, not being the ones. That was kind of like the low grade, low paid job at the time. And if you really couldn't make it to do anything else in life, you ended up being a shepherd. It's like comparing it to our low minimum wage jobs nowadays. I have nothing against people that work in low minimum wage, but it's like, it is the last resort. This is what I have to do. I have to make the money. And the shepherds were, in a society, they were out in the fields. They were not really rubbing shoulders with people. They were not really among the people. And when people will look at the shepherds and see the shepherds, they would certainly not want to hang out with the shepherd. You know, who wants to hang out with the shepherd? First of all, like I mentioned, they hang out with the sheep, so they smell. Who wants to wait in a line at Basic behind a shepherd that smells? Wait for a drink at Tim Hortons behind a shepherd that just does not have a good odor, doesn't project well. And, all of these things, people were probably avoiding shepherds, were walking down the street, and they were just probably avoiding them because, shepherds were just sort of like the least not important people of the society at that time. And one of the amazing things, though, that I see here is there's a lot of association with this to us, and we'll go into that in a minute with the story of shepherds. But how incredible it is that God chose shepherds to tell the story of Jesus to the world. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but I thought about it as I was preparing this message, and I thought to myself, it's unreal, because if I was going to sit down with God, and God invited me to have a conversation with him in heaven, and he said, here, David, here is the biggest event in history of all time. This is the plan. Jesus is going to make an entrance. There was 400 years of darkness. There was no prophets. It was darkness. It was pure depression and sadness. God was not speaking. Jesus is going to enter the world. David, who do you think we should go to tell that this is going to come about? Who are the trusted people? Who are the people that you would think? And in my mind, when I was thinking about this, if I was having a conversation with God, my own mind, I would probably say, well, President of the United States. I mean, he's most prominent. Sometimes a president will open a mouth and then the whole world will know, whether it's good or bad. Then I would think, okay, well, who's got the most followers on Twitter? This guy. I would definitely go with Elon Musk. Because whenever he opens his mouth, it seems like everybody talks about it. Like, this is going to make news 100%. The whole world will know if you go with Elon Musk. And I'm thinking about all these things. Yeah, I mean, there's at that time, King Herod, there's all these different people that angels could have shown up to. But God decides not to go to the prominent, famous, rich, known people, but he decides to go to the least. And that tells me a lot of things. And how about we just read this story of shepherds, and then I'm just going to have a few points to close off our service this morning. But Luke 2 gives us this account of what has happened. And I'm just going to read Luke 2, verses 8 through 18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Also, shepherds used to work overnight. Any night workers here? It is really hard to work a night shift. I know some people that work night shifts. It is not fun. They had to work at night to tend the sheep, and then on top of that, they had to protect the sheep from the predators. So they worked at night. Night was cold as well, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news and will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Just pause here for a moment. What we see here happening is the first worship service ever recorded in the New Testament, and it's happening in the field, out in the nature, in front of the shepherds who were the least. Isn't that incredible? Angels and the host, and there is a worship happening. We do worship here every Sunday, but this was a different kind of worship. This was a worship session from the angels themselves showing up to the shepherds and doing a worship session for them and singing. And these shepherds were probably rattled. I mean, first of all, they probably have not been a part of the worship session before of this kind, this caliber. You know, we find, you know, the singing of the songs and stuff like that, and David, and you got all these different characters in the Bible that were talking about singing a song to the Lord. But this is like the first time ever recorded that you, in the unison, there is a worship happening, and it's happening in front of the shepherds. When the angels, verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Even though the shepherds were overlooked by society, God met them right where they're at in the middle of the night, in the middle of their hard work. Just as they were waiting the angel showed up and told them what was about to happen. And why did God come to shepherds? There's probably a lot of reasons, but I've come up with three reasons that I believe are very true to us as well today. I believe that he came to the shepherds because they were receptive. There was no, when the angel showed up to them, there was no confusion. There was no arguing. There was no, is this true? Should we really believe this? When God spoke to them, they were up and ready to go. Verse 15, when the angels left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem." There was this desire. Let's go and see that thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. It tells us something about their hearts here, that they were humble. And even though they were overlooked and marginalized at that time, in that community, their reaction tells us a lot about how their heart was. You see, God's mind, like we mentioned in this series, Overlooked at Christmas, is different from ours. We plan things differently when it comes to life, when it comes to situations, when it comes to even telling the big news. See, God has his reasons, and many things God decides to do in this world often depend on people's hearts. And somehow, God loved the shepherds. He didn't go to the king. He didn't go to another prominent person at that time. But God selects the shepherds, and I think for one reason only, because God loves and responds to humility. Their heart was receptive. They were open. They were open. They received that. They were just simple men. They had no other things that were holding them back. They didn't have riches. They didn't live in a palace. They weren't prominent with positions among the people. But they were just simple men that had a simple heart that God decided to show up to, and they responded in humility. You see, I believe that the importance of humility in our Christian faith is so big. And I've seen it many times in my own life that pride has been a significant barrier to my own spiritual growth. When I think that I know things, when I think I'm taking things into my own hands, when I'm planning my own life and I'm going around what I want instead of trusting God, what we need to do as Christians, we need to adopt this humble approach that shepherds had in their faith. Like shepherds, they were truly joyful that they received something from the Lord, and they took it with humility, and they responded in humility. See, you've heard this many times, but God decides, He decides to go ahead and not be born in a palace, but in a house of the shepherds. If you know anything about the stable at that time, stable was a place where they would keep the animals, but that's where shepherds hung out a lot. So this was a familiar place for the shepherds where they would go and they would be there. And Jesus himself, the Lord of heavens and earth, comes to the shepherds and he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to be born in your house. Come and see. That represents a huge, big part of humility from God himself, who decides to show us what his heart is all about. He wasn't born in a king's palace. He was born among the humblest, lowliest places that to the human eye would be unworthy to be born in. So that tells us that God himself is humble, and he wants us to be humble. He wants us to be receptive. See, Jesus did not come for the special and the privileged, but he came for the humble. He came for everyone that's able to be receptive and open their heart to him. He came for the blind, for the lost. And his love is unconditional and inclusive for everyone that believes. It's not about the social status. It's not about the background. It's about the heart that is receptive. In John 3:16, the promise that was given, it said that God so loved the world that he came to give his life for everyone that believes. Everyone that has a heart that's receptive to receive what he has for them. So we need to keep praying and keep asking that God would make us more receptive to receive what he has for us, starting with our salvation. Sometimes we don't feel worthy, we don't feel deserving, but God looks at us and he sees us when we're humble and receptive, and he gives us what we need. Jesus came for the humble, and shepherds were humble enough to receive Jesus. And just like we talked with the kids even this morning, there's something about the kids' heart of being humble and receptive, and that's why we value our kids' ministry and also our kids' service that we do once a year, is because the kids have this receptive wonder. And Jesus even mentions, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you need to have a childlike faith, that receptive, open heart to receive. So Jesus came for the least, for the ones that society would say not important, status didn't matter, didn't go to school, but he came for the receptive. Which leads me to the second point, why I think angels showed up to the shepherds, and that is simply he came to the shepherds because they provided a sacrificial lamb. At that time, if you were going to go down the street and you were going to see a shepherd, you would notice something about yourself. And the first thing that you would think to yourself is, oh, shepherd. An association with the shepherd would go with a sacrificial lamb, which at that time, with the rituals and the way things went before Jesus came, it was, if you sinned and you live your life and you were imperfect, which everybody was imperfect, they would sin, they would have to get a lamb from the shepherd to sacrifice so they would be redeemed and their sin would be atoned. And that was the way the things used to work back in the day. Shepherds, all of the people knew who the shepherds were, and they went to get the lamb to sacrifice for their sins. I don't know how many times a day or how many times a week people would do that, but shepherds were important in society for actually tending the sheep. And there's a lot of theologians that believe that these shepherds that were in the field were actually those Levi shepherds, the ones that kept those lambs that were pure and they were basically ready for the slaughter, ready to be sacrificed. And what this tells me is simply this. God coming to the shepherd signifies that our efforts are over. Now, you needed to make an effort for your sin at that time, and you needed to go to a shepherd, you needed to go to a temple, and you needed to do all these things in order to be redeemed for the sin that you have carried. But because God came to the shepherds. It was like shepherds are about to lose their job. And they're not going to be, people are not going to be coming to them to buy the lamb, and because there is a lamb that was coming that's going to cover it all. In Hebrews 10:9, it says this, 10:9 and 10. Then he said, Jesus, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You see, sacrifice has been made once and for all. And in that sense, when John came to the scene, if you know anything about John, he was the guy who was preaching. We heard about him a little bit in the beginning of the Overlooked at Christmas. But he was there for the purpose to preach and to tell the world about this Savior that's coming. And some of the first recorded words that John had in John 1:29 were, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was saying, here comes the Lamb who's going to once and for all finish the work for us. So that it's not in our effort, it's not in what we do, it's not how much money we can give or how much service we can give. It's nothing to do with us. It's all being put on Jesus, who is the perfect Lamb of God. Savior is born. Work is over. No need. We need saving. We're sinners. We've been all condemned. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. But here comes an answer to all of the questions that we have. Even though we have sinned, even though we were born into sin, there was this Lamb that was slain for us. And if we have a receptive heart to accept this Lamb and His sacrifice, we are forgiven. We have been made whole. We have been made right in front of God. And the third reason why I believe God sent Angel Gabriel to the shepherds was He came to the shepherds because they had a shepherd's heart. You see, besides the humility that we talked about, to be a shepherd at that time of the flock, your heart had to be very different. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, if you Google the word sheep and some of the things about the sheep and traits of the sheep, you will quickly come to realize that sheep were really difficult to work with, difficult to understand. And this would probably, that's why it was one of the lowliest jobs, because sheep were foolish, they were dumb, stubborn, restless, demanding. And if you look at even online, having some of the cute videos on the sheep on YouTube, you'll see the sheep just being acting dumb in a dumb way, and you would think, what is going on? Nothing, they're just being sheep. So in order to work with a sheep, your heart had to be different. You had to have a lot of patience, and you had to have a lot of, you just had to have a way to put up with this sheep. Now, in Psalm 23, we see a picture of a shepherd, the Good Shepherd, one of my favorite psalms, where he talks about how the Lord is our shepherd. And He leads us, and He guides us, and He protects us. And He's got this rod that is there to just smack us if we need to get in line. And that's what shepherds did all day long, all night long, smacking the sheep, trying to get them in line. And going into this, I'm not going to go into the depth of Psalm 23. I would encourage you to read it. But that just gives us a picture of the shepherd, what shepherd used to do. Shepherds, they were there to protect and to give their life for the sheep, to make sure to the sheep are behaving so they can make a living out of it. And they can actually, they were there to protect the sheep from the predators, from whatever was happening. They were there to be there for the sheep. Which brings us to John 10, where Jesus Himself calls Himself a good shepherd. And Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. This passage beautifully captures the essence of Jesus' role in our life as a shepherd. And heart of the good shepherd represents Jesus' feelings about us. You see, in this Psalm 23 that I just mentioned, there is provision, there is a patient care, there is a comfort, there is protection. Talks about how he knows the sheep by name in other scriptures. You see, without a shepherd in our own life, we will be vulnerable, misguided, and confused. We will simply be dumb about life and about everything else. But with the shepherd on our side, Jesus himself, we're able to listen to the voice of the shepherd, which also the scripture talks about how the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd and they recognize the voice of the shepherd. And we're able to be in this life, we're able to respond to the shepherd's voice, to his leading, to his care. When the sheep would get hurt and would be hurting, the shepherd would tend to that sheep, take care of them, and really be there for the sheep and do whatever it takes for that sheep to be healed. The shepherd was there to protect over and over again from the attacks, from all kinds of things that were happening. See, this is how Jesus feels about us. And this is why he came. He came to protect us, to care for us. And also, having a shepherd's heart is very important. For us personally, to have a shepherd's heart is to care about other people as well around us. People that are confused, people that are lost, people that are going through a hard time. We are to care with that shepherd's love and care. There's a lot of people, not only the pastors, which means the shepherds, but there's a lot of people in church that have that shepherd's heart to really care about people, to really be there for people, to encourage people, to pray with people. And if I was going to ask you or ask someone then about you, I would say probably 50% of us here have a shepherd's heart to really care about people, probably more than 50%. So, first of all, how many of us would say that we are receptive and humble to hear God's voice that's leading us? Then how many of us would put our hope and trust in this eternal shepherd, Jesus? See, without him, we would be confused, we would be hurt, we would be empty, and we would wander off and we would be lost. Through this shepherds, through God deciding to send angel to the shepherds, we can see that God values humility. He values this sacrifice that's been made through the perfect Lamb of God. And he is there to show us that he cares for us. He cares for us. His love transcends status. It ends our striving, and forever it nurtures our souls. See, God's love is humble, it's sacrificial, and it's eternally nurturing. So, this Christmas story with the shepherds simply tells us this. No matter where you come from and where you've been, Jesus cares about you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he cares about you. And tonight, as we come to our Christmas Eve service, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, I would pray, and I want to pray that over us this morning, that we will have that heart of a shepherd, the receptive heart to receive what he has for us, the hope of the world. As we stand this morning, I want to ask you, does your heart yearn for hope this Christmas? And do you have somewhere that you need to trust God, that you need hope to fill you? I can guarantee that if we place our faith in this eternal shepherd, we will be filled with hope just as shepherds were. that night, long, long time ago, those shepherds were filled with hope all over again, knowing that there is an amazing thing that's happened, and that is that the Savior has been born, the redemption has come, and we don't have to strive anymore. We don't have to look for answers anywhere else. We can just focus on Jesus, on the perfect Lamb of God. So as we turn our eyes to Jesus this morning, I'm going to pray for you. And if you know, if this morning you feel like you need hope of Christmas, of this eternal shepherd to just become alive in you, if you feel like maybe you're going through a situation and you really need that shepherd to come and comfort you, maybe you're struggling, even going through something that you don't have answers for, the Good Shepherd is there to guide you, to give you an advice, to share with you what you need to know, to speak to you. And with all of this, we just have to be receptive to receive what He wants to tell us. So I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, you can just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful message of shepherds. People that were the least of the least in the society at that time. People that were overlooked. You made important. And with that, you told us how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how important we are to you, our Father, Heavenly Father. It is your love that's been poured out over us. And this Christmas Eve, we want to be reminded of that love, of why you came. We want to be reminded of that hope, the true hope that you have given us and that you're going to give us. I, Father God, I just pray right now for that hope to become alive in everyone's heart. Just like you infuse the shepherds with new hope that evening, I pray that you would infuse our hearts with your hope. You will renew the hope in our hearts, that we would be able to look to you, our Good Shepherd, for guidance, for protection, for care. Sometimes we are confused, and sometimes we go through this life and we get discouraged, but it is with your hope and your encouragement that we get the strength to move forward and to do what you're calling us to do. I pray for every heart in this room. I pray that your love would just be poured out among everyone right now, that we would be receptive to hear and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says, Amen.